Today is October 21st, 2021, and I am with Keith and Nancy Green. Okay, I was going to tell you guys I've been reading Nancy's book on animals, and I just finished the chapter on the mountain lions and your three encounters with mountain lions up there. And I wondered after reading that if you had also maybe had any encounters with them.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't. I haven't really. I thought I heard one actually out the window here just a few nights ago.
Because you described in one of them that you heard a scream at your house.
Yeah.
And then you had one laying in the road. Right, on your way to visit him at Walnut Canyon, she passed one.
That is in Prescott.
You were what?
That was in Prescott.
In Prescott, right. Oh, you were in, that was a third one. Didn't you also have one when you were at the canyon and you were going to drive to see him at Walnut Canyon?
No.
That was in Prescott?
No.
I was on the way up on the canyon, I suppose, but...
Yeah, on the way. You were on the way, you
but,
said, and
yeah.
It was laying in the middle of the road?
Yeah, but...
In Prescott?
It was actually in
Prescott. No, I think the one in Prescott. Tell me if you're wrong, Nancy, but if I'm wrong, but... wasn't that one that just... You know, in we're on 89, or she was on 89, and on 89, in places, it's, there's a bank embankment on both sides of the road, and goes up about, 8 feet on either side, and a lion jumped off of the bank on one side, hit the road and bounced back up and went over the other side.
That was on 89.
It was on 89.
Wow. Okay. I live in the woods basically and I have never seen one, so you've been really fortunate. And you know, maybe that area in the Kaibab. That's the Kaibab near where your house is, right?
Right.
National Forest, not the Coconino?
Right, Kaibab.
Yeah, so, I mean, I would kind of like to see one, but on the other hand, I'm a little bit nervous about it.
Well, yeah, you don't want to see one too close.
You were in your car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I thought that was pretty interesting, and I know that her next chapter has to do with not the ringtail. Maybe it is the ringtail cats after that, but that's what was up in the ceiling, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, at the south rim. Mm-hmm. So, let me
at Phantom Ranch.
I mean at Phantom Ranch, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
At the south rim?
Yeah,
oh, really? There was one there, too?
Oh, they hang around in the attic of the Ultra Bar Hotel.
Oh.
Yeah,
and you can often, or you could, and you could see them if you're having dinner, if you look up into the rafters, you could see them walking around on the rafters.
Oh, my gosh.
Looking down.
While you're having dinner there?
While you're having dinner, right.
I've at the north rim. I've seen mice run around on the floor while we were having dinner.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the fall, right before they closed. I thought, oh man, this is getting really like next to nature up here.
Nature is coming, taking over no matter what.
Well, now that I realize how many mice are in my own house, you know, I have a live trap and I catch like one or two mice every day and take them.
Do you have a cat?
No, because I had a cat and it was such a massacre in there that I decided it was easier to just catch them and take them down to 180 and set them free on the road down there, right next to the road. And I don't like to handle the traps, you know, the dead mice. So anyways, I just set them free.
That's nice.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, starting in...
You had to put take some spray paint or something and spray paint their tail or something so that...
I could see if they're coming back.
It's the same.
That's what Steve says. He thinks they're coming back, but I say I doubt they can hike a half mile through the woods and find our house. But who knows? Maybe they can. There's quite a few houses between us and 180, so I'm hoping they go in somebody else's house and not between there and 180. So it's in your notes for 1999, it sounds like that was the year you got a permanent position with the Park Service. So what did that mean?
That means it was a permanent pay raise. At least, you know, I went from just 7 to 9 or 5 to 7. I can't remember, but
7 to 9, just to 7.
Just to 7.
Oh wait, is that a GS-7 or is that $7 an hour?
It's GS-7.
GS-7.
It's
okay.
A category.
Okay. Yeah, I understand that. Yep.
Anyway.
So now you're actually on the ladder of the federal government,
right,
employee.
And I also meant, of course, that I was working year round. That was
okay.
The big difference.
Which was what?
And yeah, by then I had put together a
5,000
seasonal jobs.
But this was not seasonal, right?
No.
I'm sorry, I can't hear that.
He quit applying for other
seasonal
jobs.
Oh, you quit applying for other seasonal jobs finally, huh?
Yeah, other permanent jobs.
Oh, okay, other permanent jobs too. Okay, good. And so where were you, where did they locate you that year? Like, were you part on the South Rim?
South Rim, right.
Okay, so you were up there all year.
Right.
Okay. Okay. And, okay. And
of course, now I'm getting, then I was getting all the perks of being a permanent employee. Including, you know, annual leave and that sort of thing. So,
vacation and
yeah,
holidays and
right. So
sick leave. Good. That makes it much better. And Nancy, her job was paid by Coconino County. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, it was Grand Canyon School
District. Oh, Grand Canyon School District. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, they had their own
pool
of money.
Yeah, part of Coconino County, of course. But yeah.
Okay. And then this was the year that you guys decided to get a dog. And you got it from the Grand Canyon Pound.
Yes.
Yes.
Was it 98 or 99?
It says 99.
But see, we got her Christmas.
Christmas time of 98? Okay.
So I didn't write it that year.
Oh, okay. Okay, this is... Okay. So You got her at the end of 98. Okay.
And I had gotten applied for and gotten the Park Service to pay for a seminar. Anyway, it was being put on by the National National. I don't remember what the name of it is. Interpretation.
Was it a national historic interpretation or national?
It's a national organization of interpreters.
Something like that.
But it was a trip to Alaska. It was in Anchorage. What do we call those?
A conference, a symposium, a seminar.
Let's call it a symposium.
Okay.
Nancy asked if she could go too, and we were able to arrange that so Nancy could go as well. So we were staying in a hotel with a bunch of other interpreters from Grand Canyon and other places and all around the country. And one of the things that we did, well, several of the things we did on that conference was, thing you could sign up for was called A Taste of Alaska.
Okay.
And it turned out, we thought it was going to be, going and tasting food, but no, it was tasting beer.
Oh, that's good.
And we got up there, so we went to a bunch of breweries.
That's nice.
In Anchorage and tasted their beer. And so you ended up with a bunch of drunk interpreters, which was really funny. They're doing, what the difference is between a deer and an elk? Stuff like that.
Okay, so that sounds like fun.
And,
that was 98,
wasn't it? Yeah, Nancy would, in the morning, she would go out sometimes and go for walks. And one time she was having coffee in a coffee bar in Anchorage. And she looked up and there was a moose looking through the window at her.
That's cool.
From the outside in.
I've only seen a moose from a distance, so that would be kind of fun to see.
Really? And another thing we did is we went on a trip up to Talkeetna, which is kind of right at the base of Denali.
Okay.
And we all took plane rides up and over the glaciers over that end of Denali.
That sounds wonderful.
It was pretty wild, but it was one of the funny things that happened was we got off the bus came up to a lookout place where you could. I assume see the mountain, but of course the mountain was all covered with clouds. But everybody got out of the bus anyway and immediately headed, instead of out to where you could see where the mountain was, they all went over to a place where you can see the vegetation.
Okay.
And which confused the bus driver and said, how come everybody's looking over there? And I said, because there are a bunch of interpreters.
Right, and they want to see what the...
what
grows here. That's cool.
Yeah. But anyway...
Took this?
No.
Okay. Up
we
here?
We ended up naming our dog after the town of Talkeetna.
Okay.
Instead of calling her Talkeetna, we called her Keetna.
Tita?
Keetna.
Keetna. Oh, Keetna. Okay, there you took... Yes. What?
And
thinking of your puppy.
We didn't realize that at the time, but it's also sort of a play on our names.
Oh, it is Keith and Nancy.
Yeah.
It is. That's so cool. Who figured that out? Oh my God.
He did after the fact, though.
Yes, it doesn't matter. It's still, it's very nice. Hey, Nancy, I got to tell you, this feeding tube has really improved your color and everything. You look so much better.
Oh,
you're
good.
Getting nourishment.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, and your voice is so much stronger. Thank goodness they finally hooked that thing up. There. Keep eating.
Calories to guarantee.
You needed those calories, I think. Yeah.
Whatever else I eat, this.
Yes, anything. Yes.
That's literally why.
Today is what?
Literally why. I had a frost.
She had a what, was frost. It? Frosted?
Cupcake.
Cupcake, good.
But I didn't put
it. Oh, it's hard to get down?
Yeah, I just...
It what? Oh, the frosting. But that's good, though. You know, at least you got the frosting. Yeah, you don't want to choke on that, the dough.
Well, Nancy always did say that a cake is actually just a bunch of ready material that's there to hold up the icing.
Did either of you ever hear from your mothers, or if you do you remember from this era of the early 70s during Watergate, there was a cake called Watergate cake? Do you remember that at all?
No.
It's pistachio pudding cake.
Oh.
But it came out during the Watergate thing, and my mother used to make it all the time, and I saved the recipe, and it's green, but it's really good. It has green icing and a green cake, but it's really moist. Hmm? Yeah, would you like that recipe? I'll bring it to you. It's very good. It's not hard to make. And I think you guys would like it. Okay, so you got your puppy at the pound. Very exuberant black lab puppy, Keetna. And, yes. And you guys, she was with you a lot, huh? You took her hiking and...
Yeah.
She was your puppy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she ended up living a good long time, right?
14
years.
Yeah. That's a long time for a lab, you know it?
A puppy.
A long time. It's hard to lose your dog. So
yeah.
Hard. Yeah. She was your only dog, right?
No, I wish I had another one.
Oh, you wish you could have gotten another one? Yeah, they're so loving. And they can be obedient when they want to be.
Yeah.
Did she, would she come when you called her? And
usually. We had it pretty well that
sometimes. Yeah, could you walk with her off of a leash?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we was with her all the time. We would take her out back and
She would stay. You guys had a porch or something off your house, right?
Yes.
We're living. Of course, we're living right on the forest there, so, and teacher housing, so, just out the back door, and you were in the forest, so.
And you'd take her back and forth to your cabin?
Oh, yeah, she loved it.
We bring her over to Pay Parks for.
She knew when you got in the car that it was.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And head north.
And she knew.
And she started running around the basement.
Because she knew. We're going back to the cabin.
Yeah.
That's so nice. So nice to have a family dog you love, you know? So. Let's see what else went on that year. You had a labyrinth building party at your cabin.
Yes.
That's cool. And did you guys always have a labyrinth there or just occasionally?
Well, it was made of rocks. So.
Oh, it was rocks. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, it was not like made out of hay or.
No. And then we took all the. That was what, see, the party was, you had to pick up a rock, because there's rocks all over the property, so you had to pick up a rock and bring it over to the labyrinth, and they had, we had string out to show where the path went.
Okay.
And so, really, all you had to do is move one rock, and you were eligible for beer, Oh, we got one of those sandwiches from that was like 6 feet long.
Oh, big long submarine sandwich.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the labyrinth was just like laid out like a meditation trail.
Well, you know what the labyrinth is? That's what it is. If you follow the trail. It goes around and around and around and around and ends up in the middle.
Yes.
And then in the middle there's usually a place that you can sit and meditate.
Yes, that sounds nice.
And then it's just a form of meditation.
And you had, your property was level enough to do this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see that you also hiked up to Calf Creek Falls, which is one of my favorite hikes. So beautiful.
Yeah. That's where her dog learned how to swim.
Oh, really? Right there in front of the falls there?
Yeah. She was like, playing, out there in the. And she'd never been, all the way as we walked, she was constantly leaving us and heading down the hill to where the creek was. And she'd come back up and she'd be all wet, but, it was hot in the summertime.
So, okay, we'll wait till all that's done. So Keetna was just a puppy, and that was her first swimming experience.
Anyway, no, she was just, the creek's only.
Yes, right. It's not very deep, right?
So she, but we got all the way out to where the falls was, and we called. I think we were throwing a ball or something that she was going to get.
Stick.
And we threw it out in the pool that's under the falls. And she ran out there and all of a sudden realized that she wasn't able to touch the ground anymore.
Ooh. And she had to do the dog paddle.
She just all of a sudden started doing the dog paddle, but she had this look on her face like, what am I doing?
Aww.
What made me do this?
That's sweet. So let's see what else is happening here that year.
Well, at the very end of the year, there's a big event, which was in 2000. the beginning of 2000, which there was all kinds of rumors going on.
Oh, like, the Millennium Party.
Yeah.
The, New Year's will be spent at the Big Phantom Ranch Millennium Reunion Party.
That's right.
And you guys, you did it. You went?
Yeah.
How was it?
It was fun. It was really something. But, and it was, oh, we've got a picture somewhere of 100 Phantom Ranchers, or at least 100 of us, all in the area where the mules usually unload. Mike Quinn got up on the roof of the lodge and took this picture.
Oh, nice.
With everybody in.
And, it was fun.
Yeah, but...
Everybody then just camped down there?
No. The staff had pooled all their tips for that year.
Uh-huh.
And in order to buy the ranch for that night.
Okay.
So they had all the dormitories and all the cabins and all the meals.
Okay.
They were all owned by, you know, all went to the ranch. So everybody was invited that had ever, that we could find that had ever been a part of Phantom Ranch, and they all showed up and stayed in our cabins and ate dinner with us, and you know, all that stuff. We even tried to make it so we were there until the New Year's too, because of course that would be the New Year's of 2000.
Right.
And but the Park Service wouldn't let us stay open that long. I think that was a problem.
So was anyway, when was the party? New Year's Eve?
New Year's Eve, right.
But you had to get out then?
We were all in the beer hall.
Okay.
And of course then they had to stop selling beer because of the Millennium, but I can't remember exactly what happened there, but I do remember this, that I had put together a slide presentation about Phantom Ranch, about the history of Phantom Ranch,
right,
that I had developed for the South Rim, that we used to give when we did the evening program at Mather Amphitheater, which is now called McKee Amphitheater. And so it was all about Phantom Ranch and, you know, how it was formed and, you know, how it was built and et cetera. And a few stories from Phantom Ranch were in it too. Well, a bunch of stories from Phantom Ranch were in it too. So they asked me to give the program at the beer hall that night with all the our friends there, and so I gave it, but it wasn't like I'd ever given it before, because of course I had a beer in my hand for one thing, while I was, you know, on the microphone in the other hand.
Mm-hmm.
While I was doing it, well, I had to set the beer down to make it change slides.
Okay.
And I kept accidentally pulling the I know, I had the button that, you know, that you have to push
right for the slides
in one hand and the beer in the other, and I kept putting the beer down, and then I'd move around, and the wire that came from the button to the projector to make it change slides would hit the beer can.
Oh,
and
my
knock
God.
The beer over.
Oh no.
And so I don't know how many beers people kept buying me more beer.
It kept spilling. Oh man. But that was probably enjoyable, and
oh,
you did
funny.
That that night, right? Before before midnight.
Yeah. And there was some really interesting news items that were happening too at the time. One of them was that a whole bunch of dynamite had been stolen from
a mine somewhere.
From a mine somewhere.
Near the canyon or?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And the rumor was that they were going to blow up the dam.
Oh, God.
Glen Canyon Dam.
Okay.
For the beginning of the millennium.
A real monkey wrench thing to bring in the new year.
Yeah, and so, you know, if the electricity went out all of a sudden, because of course the electricity is all coming from Glen Canyon Dam.
Right.
If the electricity went out all of a sudden, we'd know that we'd better get out of there.
Yeah, right? Really.
But nothing happened. But it was okay. But
wow, so that was actually a rumor up there. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, there was some quite a bit of. Of course, who knows?
Who knows? But
true.
Yeah. Okay, so that leaves that. And then we're into 2000, and you say the world was supposed to end on January 1st, 2000, but what followed was even better. And then that's when you talk a bit about that evening. And let's see. Try to stick with there. Okay. In April 2000, it says you became an interpretive ranger at Phantom Ranch.
Right.
That means you are able to live at the ranch a week on, week off, and get paid to tell stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the, it was, they have, or back then anyway, they used to have an interpreter, two interpreters actually in the summertime, stationed at Phantom Ranch. So
right.
One interpreter was down for, it was like a 10-4 sort of a thing where you go down and work for,
It was eight, six or something.
Because, well, you went down, you went, okay, so you go down, you'd switch on a Tuesday. So the person down there would hike out and the person up on the rim would hike in. And you'd spend then 8 days interpreting, doing programs at the bottom, and then the last day you'd hike out and trade off again on a Tuesday.
So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. That's eight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in, you hike in and hike out on Tuesday.
Yes.
Yeah, so, you know, when you're out, of course, you had to go, you know, buy the stuff you're going to need to eat for those 8 days and put it in, put the freezable, you know, freezer stuff in one package and the food, the dry goods in another package.
So you had to take your own food down there?
Well, yeah, no, you took it down to the the barn, where,
okay,
which was out by the heliport.
Okay.
And that's where the packer would go get it and put it and pack it all down.
And so once you're down there as a ranger, you're not eating with your old buddies anymore, the people who work down there.
No.
You were now one of the evil ranger.
Yeah, that's true.
Whoops. Ooh,
that's true. And some people would. I mean, sometimes they invite me, you know, to dinner. But
did any of them at that point remember you from when you actually were a volunteer down? I mean, not a volunteer, like a seasonal employee.
No, they didn't. There weren't very many people that remembered me.
because it had you had been gone to Iowa and back, and then up on the north, on the south rim, and so.
Right, I left there in 85, and this was 99.
This is 2000. Now we're in.
Yeah.
So, in your position down there as an interpretive ranger, you didn't have to bust anybody or anything like that?
No, I wasn't in charge of any kind of law enforcement.
That's great.
But, we had, traditionally we had a geology talk at, there's a maple tree? I think it is. It's right in the middle of the ranch, and there's some benches under it, and we'd have that right after the mules got down there. I think 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I think, was when that was.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, people could, you know, get off their mules and, you know,
stretch,
freshen up a little bit, mm-hmm. and come to that if they wanted it. So that was a talk, probably the most memorable thing for me was one time giving a talk all about the formation of the Grand Canyon and all the theories of how it was formed and all that stuff, and then after I was done, I said, so are there any questions? And this one guy, I answered a few questions, and this one guy raised his hand. And I said, what? And he turns around and gets down on his knees in front of the woman he was next to and proposed marriage to her.
You're kidding!
Yeah!
You inspired him to...
Yes!
You were talking about how old the Grand Canyon was, and he was probably thinking how deep and how about his love for this woman. That's so cool.
I'm sure he was planning on doing that all along.
Yep. That's kind of an odd place, though, right after the talk.
I know. We kind of ended the talk.
Oh, my gosh. So,
but that, and then also I volunteered to do a walk, which I did every morning, because it turns out that there's generally, you know, enough people, you know, coming over from the camp, they're staying overnight in the mm-hmm. campground, and maybe even staying overnight at Phantom, that, you know, I made announcements on bulletin boards all over the place, and we'd meet in front of the lodge, and then I gave a walking tour, kind of the ranch by way of hiking up to the ribbon to Phantom Creek,
mm-hmm.
up to Phantom Creek, and all this, the history that's involved in that part of the trail. So I do a morning hike.
Yeah, because that was going to be my next question, is like, that was your evening thing for the people who were there, you know, after the mules and people who had hiked down, and then I was going to...
I also did, that was a third mm-hmm. program that I did every day, was the 7:30 evening
ranger
talk.
Okay.
Which I do, usually with slides.
And that was inside?
No.
No, outside.
There's an outdoor
amphitheater. Oh, that's nice. Nice.
Between the ranger station and us. One time, Bernice Lewis, who's a folk singer, mm-hmm. songwriter,
mm-hmm.
And a friend, she's hung around the canyon for a long time, but she had written a song about Bright Angel Creek.
Mm-hmm.
And she sang that song with the creek behind us.
Oh, that's nice. Really beautiful, huh?
Yeah. It was neat. Oh, and another thing I did there, there's a guy who's, I think he's still down there, named Shores.
Mm-hmm.
He volunteers. He's volunteered for his whole life, almost, down there. And he's sort of become as much a part of Phantom Ranch as anything is.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he works for the, as a volunteer for the Park Service. But he's very into astronomy.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, and he, with, we were, he was tracking this thing. There was this, it's called an Iridium flare.
Mm-hmm.
And what it was a satellite that was up in space that had antennae, which were made out of aluminum, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Something very reflective, because they were actually the solar collectors for the satellite.
Okay.
But they would reflect light from the sun down to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't built that way, but they did that.
Mm-hmm.
And God, who was it that put that together? Anyway.
That same guy he mentioned?
It was posted in the newspaper longitude and latitude.
Mm-hmm.
Where you could look up your latitude and longitude and find out when that reflection was gonna shine where you were.
Mm-hmm.
And so Shores had that information, and he figured out, you know, between, you know, at 7:42, between, I don't even, you know,
right.
Making this up,
right.
7:42 between 13 seconds after and 60 seconds that it would shine at the bottom of the Grand Canyon.
That's cool.
We figured that out. And so Shores had an atomic watch that kept perfect time, you know, according to, anyway, perfect time. And so he gave it, he told, you know, he got me all primed for it. And I put the watch in my pocket with it, and it had a little alarm that would go off like 10 seconds or so before the Iridium flare would show. And he had showed me what part of the sky it was going to be in. And so I was giving a talk, and I said, wait a minute, you know what? I think I want to show you how powerful a ranger at Grand Canyon is. I'm going to make a star appear right up there in the sky in 3 seconds. One, two, three. Boy, I was like really hoping it was really going to happen.
Did it happen?
And it happened.
Oh my gosh.
Know? Yeah, it was bright. It was brighter than any
so
other
So was
star.
It just like a flash?
No, it was like a...
Or did it move?
It looked like a star, but it was moving.
Oh, know? That's
it was
cool.
Obviously moving.
That is cool.
That's cool.
I mean, now I think the equivalent of that today is you get to see the International Space Station, right? If
that's
you're down
true.
There.
Yeah.
And it's so dark down there, if you just happen to catch it in between that canyon wall and that canyon wall, it's pretty amazing sight to see.
I used to have the schedule.
You had the schedule for when it was going to go by?
Yeah.
Yeah. You could go out on the patio and Watch yeah, for it. I know.
International Space Station,
yeah. Yeah, it's cool. It's pretty easy to spot because of the way, you know, it moves. Did you guys have a hot tub out there?
No.
No? I wondered if you did.
Water.
The what?
Water.
Yeah, oh. Water is too hard to...
Oh, to water. By. Right, right. Because you were really kind of out there. Right.
Water is hard to come by. And also, it gets really, really cold.
Right. Well, you have to use a lot of electricity to keep it hot. For sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's really neat. That's a neat story. Well, so you'd be down there for 8 nights, and you'd be up on the top by yourself. How'd you like that? Huh?
With the dog.
With the dog. Right. You had the dog, which makes it a little better, huh? Did you enjoy those evenings ever when you and it was just you and the dog? Did you catch up? I bet you did. Did you read and relax? Is it in here, do you think? You wanted to see something? Oh, I can't hear you.
I'm having trouble hearing you, Nancy.
Here, let me come around. What'd you say?
What you would do when he was gone?
We'll have to talk about that separately. I know that when my husband, you know, he never usually, I was the one that traveled with my job for Lowell Observatory. I used to have to go out fundraising all over the place, so he got to have the time at home without me. But I never had very much time at home without him, so whenever he would occasionally go, it'd be like I have, you know, the night to myself or a couple nights to myself. You know, as much as I love him, we did spend an awful lot of time together, same as you guys, you know. You had what? Yeah, right.
What marriage?
Siamese twins.
Siamese twins? Marriage?
Yes.
Yeah, you did kind of, right? You did. We had that too, because for a long time we worked together in my husband's store until we almost killed each other. Because we could never... You know, you'd get in the middle of, like, something you really wanted to discuss, and then a customer would walk in, and you couldn't finish the discussion. And finally, we decided it would be better if one of us looked for work elsewhere. And that's when I went up to the observatory. So, yeah, I understand, though, that when you're together so much, you know. But you also had times when you were, had, you know... She was on the north rim, you were on the south rim. You had times apart, for sure. And, yeah. And how did you like being down there? You know, just sort of on your own?
Oh, I liked it.
I bet.
There was, you know, it wasn't like there was anything to do. You had to change all of the signs, you know, to make it for the night's program.
Right.
You know,
did you have to print that stuff out yourself and all?
What?
Did you have to print those signs out?
Yeah. We did. Well, you know what? I think somebody made those for me.
Would you make them before you took it down? Did you make them and then carry them down?
I had like probably 4 or 5 programs
right.
that I would do. No, I would make them. I think I would make them, but I can't remember how I did it.
Would you mind giving me a little water?
Sure.
Thank you so much. So I often kind of wondered how that worked down there. And did you get to be buddies with some of the other rangers down there? Or were you the only person, you know, in this capacity for that week?
Well, yeah, I was the only person doing interpretations, but, Yeah, Shores was about the only ranger that I really got to know.
Would you like seltzer water?
Oh, it doesn't matter, whatever you have.
Just regular?
Is the cold water, the seltzer?
Yeah.
Oh, I have a little of that, okay. Thank you.
Nancy, is that okay?
Is that okay, Nancy?
Yes.
Thank you. Oh, that's the kind I like, too. In fact, the lime, that's my favorite.
Nancy, do you want a drink? Do you want me to get you some? Okay, I'll get her some, too. Keith, do you want something to drink?
Oh, I'd have a, no, it's not.
Okay.
Here, she has a little in here, but I don't know if the fizz is gone.
Yeah, I'll get her some fresh one.
I just bought myself a case of that today. That's my favorite one. Yeah, so how about, like, this guy who you said is the volunteer, was he a volunteer or a ranger, Shores?
He's a volunteer.
But he lived down there.
He lives down there. Yeah, he has his own room.
Oh, thank you so much.
In the park headquarters there, the park.
And you think he's still there?
Yeah, I think so.
How old do you think he is?
I'd say he's got to be in his 60s by now. 30s? You think so?
30? Okay. She said he's your age. Like, yeah. So he's just... We have a guy up at Lowell Observatory named Brian Skiff. Did you ever meet him? He's sort of like that guy. He's been there forever, but he's paid. You know, but he's this guy that just kind of loves Lowell, and, you know, he knew enough about astronomy that, you know, he ended up getting a job there, and he spent his entire life up there.
Well, I was in this constant kind of intellectual battle with him because he insisted on... And I think he eventually did. He puts all the thermometers in the sun down there, which is not
really the accurate
the actual reading.
Right.
I mean, it's, you know, so it'd be probably 70 degrees down there, and the thermometer with the sun on it would be showing 95 or something.
Oh, that's not good.
You know, and but you know, people aren't. Don't apparently know that, and
right.
Either that or they trust the Park Service to not make them wrong.
And they
and
think
so
it's that hot.
They think, yeah. And they did the same. He did the same thing with the. There's a thermometer on the 3 Mile House. There's one down at Indian Garden, I think. And there's, you know.
Don't drink.
He's put them all in the sun, so...
And can you overrule him, or will it just cause trouble?
It just causes trouble.
Yeah, it's not worth it, huh?
You can't overrule him.
Okay.
And he's like, he's been there for so long, you know, that, you know, what he says is...
Yeah, he kind of, he's got more, he thinks he has more authority than anybody else, at least, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if the superintendent comes down and says something, he, of course, won't disagree with him, but, you know, he's pretty much the last word as far as things go down there.
Well, you know, this was also the year that you got the job as the school librarian, was 2000. It said that... school started up with good news for Nancy that the job she's been waiting for since 1985 finally opened up. So 2000 was a good year for both of you, it sounds like, because you got down to Phantom Ranch again, which you loved, and got to do interpretive stuff and impart some of all that history you knew. And Nancy finally got into the library. And believe me, having been a teacher and a librarian, I'd take the library. Did you feel like that?
Yes.
Say again. Can you understand?
What? I was coming out
of special ed.
Uh-huh. Which is really hard. Which is like the hardest, right? Yeah, I had just regular 7th grade world geography, which was easy compared to special ed. Yeah, that's the hardest. Did you, you had taken, you already had your library thing, right? That for education. So you had already taken all those, you knew about ordering books and cataloging. Did you have to take a refresher or anything? Or had it been not that long? Oh, in Iowa, because you had done it. You had done it as the director of the Carnegie. That's right. So you knew exactly what you were doing. Did you find this harder or easier as a school librarian than as the public? Much easier? Yeah, I think I would agree. I mean, I think working in a public library would be the hardest possible. Is that right? I mean, do you think it's... I don't know what the population, the demographics were like in Iowa, but I think a lot of public libraries, it's, you just have to deal with everybody, right? Homeless people, everybody. Did you have that problem in Iowa or no? No. Oh, I can't hear it.
I like.
You like them? No.
I like what? All people.
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, but you did. But you didn't have anybody like wrecking a restroom or, you know. I know in Flagstaff they had some issues with people in the bathrooms, but I guess not much you can do about it.
Well, in Iowa, the main problem was school groups. School groups would come in, especially a group of junior high school kids.
Right.
I remember one time, let's see, in Iowa you had the library. I think I might have told you that, though.
I don't remember this, no.
You had the library, and then there was... the part that the Park Service ran, which was kind of, it was the grave site, of course.
Right.
And but also the place where Hoover was born and,
right,
you know, the little city around it. But anyway, one time a bunch of junior high kids went into the restroom at the over at the library,
mm-hmm,
and then the teacher said, "Okay, come on, let's go out over to the birthplace cottage." And on the way, they kept dropping pieces of plumbing that they had removed from under the sinks and you know, the pee traps and all that stuff.
Right.
That they'd taken out of the restroom that they've been in.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the main reason I never went into school or public libraries, because I did not know how I would deal with misbehavior in, like, I don't know, maybe in the school library you didn't have to deal with bathroom issues. I don't know how it was in the Carnegie Library, if you had to deal with a lot of stuff going on in the bathroom or not. But, I just didn't think I had the personality to be able to, like, go in there and handle a situation where people might be destroying things or...
Well, it wasn't really the kind of place that, you know, ne'er-do-wells would get off of I-80
to do anything like that.
I mean, if you're going through Iowa, you probably pretty much want to get through Iowa.
Well, how big was that town? where the Carnegie Library was. It very tiny.
1,000
900? Oh my gosh, it was a small town. Say again? 1,940 or 4. Wow, really small. Wow. Okay.
Well, it's 1,902 now.
Oh, you're kidding. It went down.
Because we left.
So you, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, that there probably wasn't a whole lot of problems in that library with that small of a population. So now you also had to continue in your role of special ed coordinator. God. They asked a lot of you.
What?
Huh?
Oh, sorry.
All right, there you go. Just 1 year of it, or? Oh, man, that's a lot of work, though. Wow, during the year of an audit, you had to do it, too. Ooh. That's bad. Can you lean in and hear?
Yeah, she said plus a teacher. They had to replace me. It was horrible.
Oh, really? She didn't know what she was doing?
They fired... What? They fired you?
No. They probably fired the replacement teacher. They did.
Huh? Around Thanksgiving.
Wow, she must have been bad.
Yeah.
Was it a she or a he?
He.
He. Well, it takes a certain type of person to teach special ed.
Oh, I'm
and
saying, yeah.
I bet that person wasn't the person.
Huh? The replacement? Came
in January? January.
So, huh? Say again? Do you know what she's saying?
Mm-mm.
Yes. Guess who?
Oh, you were the replacement?
Oh, so...
No. You had to go, but you were the replacement? But you were also in the library? Oh my God. That's a lot of work.
That's why I said what? That. That year.
Was a bad. It's a hard year.
Was it in Ohio or something?
That's at the canyon.
Oh.
Yeah. That was that year. Mm. Wow, you were busy. You were a busy person. I hope they paid you twice as much, but I'm sure they didn't.
Teachers don't get paid enough.
No, but she was doing two jobs and probably, I hope they were paying you the higher salary for both jobs. Who knows? Well, let's see, and you also won a Teaching for Excellence Award, which entitled her to bring 32 Grand Canyon children to the Challenger Space Center in Phoenix. That's so cool. Wow. Wow, that is so neat. Hey, you were amazing at your job, obviously. Oh my gosh, that's so cool. I can tell you that Lowell Observatory, we lent stuff to the Challenger Space Center from Lowell down there, which I know how cool it is. It's so neat that you were able to do that. Yeah, it's okay, Nancy. You had an amazing career.
And then I had two other kids who were interested in coming. So
You had kids that were not interested in going?
They were interested?
Yes.
But they weren't special ed?
I didn't think they were special.
Other kids?
Other kids, because I didn't.
Wow. So did you take, this says, so you didn't necessarily take just special ed kids down there, huh? Okay. Wow. Oh. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you were able to do that. Oh, into the capsule?
Yes.
Did you guys get to go sit in the capsule?
Yes.
That's so cool. Can you hear her? Oh, sorry. I can't hear it. But it must have been an awesome experience.
This kid came out.
Okay, I'm listening. Yeah. Uh-huh. And he said,
"Can we do this again?"
Oh, that's so cool. Oh my gosh. I mean, those kids probably never had seen anything like that in their life. Well, you know, you gave them an amazing experience, Nancy. It's incredible. I mean, I don't know if you had heard any of this, but she was like Coconino County Teacher of the Year. Just incredible.
In your office?
Oh, it's in her, in the bedroom? In his office, I can see something.
What is it? The certificate? The plaque.
Yeah.
I want to see the plaque.
Yes. She was the Coconino County Teacher of the Year of 96. All at school librarian. I know, she's incredible.
Wow. You have two plaques in there. Well, three plus that one over there.
Yeah, that one. That's still on the website. Did you know that? Yeah, your picture, I think, is going to be up there for a year, which is really nice. Then you got to go back to Hawaii, it sounds like. And yeah, that was 2000 was a wonderful year. I'm glad we got to spend all of our time on it today. I wouldn't have been surprised, Nancy, if you would have ended up as one of those teachers that they took into space at some point. Did you apply for it? It was what?
This.
Let me see if I can hear.
Okay.
Oh, you're glad you didn't get it? Because it would have been that, would it have been that Challenger one?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Why, what happened that?
That blew up.
Oh, my gosh.
And the teacher was killed.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the Challenger space. It was a disaster.
Oh, no. Well, yeah. I'm glad you weren't there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh?
Say again?
One contest.
One contest?
I'm glad.
Yeah, yeah, I got that. Yeah, so that was before this, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was in the 90s.
It was nice.
Yeah, I didn't realize. So teachers, that's how they picked the teacher, was an application thing? Okay. Yeah, her name was Krista McCullough or something like that, I believe. She died. Okay, we're going to leave it at that because we are over an hour by 10 minutes. And